Ephesians chapter 6. We may think that this passage is in a context that we don't really fit. Let's look at it in a context that we do, though. Okay? I'm going to begin reading with verse number 5 of Ephesians chapter 6. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. As unto Christ. I think that's the key phrase in making it so that we understand the context that we can fit in right here. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Do you believe that there is reward for service? I think that's what he's talking about here, all in all. Ye shall receive of the Lord. There is a reward that is waiting at the end of the journey. Sometimes we have to wait that long, but sometimes we get a reward now. Suppose that for any one of you that have employment in a world that you have a boss, you have a supervisor, you have a weekly paycheck, that there's something to be said about that reward at the end of the week or the end of 2 weeks or the end of a month, whatever it is, whatever the how often you get paid, there's a reward there for your efforts and for your labors. Do you believe that there is a reward in the spiritual sense for your labors? We have to understand that our calling is as a servant of Christ. Somebody said that you are His before any other on earth. You are His. As a Christian, you are His before any other on earth. Every duty you fulfill, every command you obey, is really obedience to Him. I'm not real sure who said that, but I like the words. I like the thought that we are His before any other on earth. Any other. I want to share with you this morning 5 points. Be as brief as I can, but I'd like to give you 5 points as we look at being or a reward of service. A servant unto Christ. In the service of the King. Number one. It's really interesting. Let's side note here. Back up. Not number one yet. All these children that are taking notes. There's a reward at the end of them taking notes. I'm told that it's quite interesting, some of the things that they note. So you children that are taking notes, number one. You adults that are taking notes, number one, be faithful. Be faithful. How often should we be faithful? Well, the fullness of the word faithful would mean that there's not a give and a take in the midst of faithfulness. A faithful servant is one who is simply faithful in everything that they do. Now when you're talking about somebody who is a servant, and we're talking this morning about being a servant of Jesus Christ as unto Christ, we're looking at the reality here that Jesus trusts us. Now, that may be hard to take sometimes, that Jesus would trust you or that Jesus would trust me, but he's trusting us, and in that trust, we must remain faithful. How do we repay the trust that Christ puts in us? How do we repay the trust that somebody else, a fellow family member or somebody at work or militarily, comrades in the battle? How do you repay somebody who has placed their trust in you? You repay that trust by faithfulness. By being the person that they need in their particular lives. So when we're talking about this service of Jesus Christ, being a servant for Jesus Christ, and he trusts us, how do we repay that faithfulness? Or in that faithfulness, we repay that by strict loyalty. We hear so much disloyalty today. It's amazing. It's really amazing how a person can be stabbed in the back, as the phrase would be in the secular world. You know, there's just no loyalty. It's whatever it takes for me to get ahead. It's whatever I need to do to protect myself or to make me look good or to make me look better so that I can climb the executive rungs of the ladder or the corporate ladder or whatever our circumstances are. But when we're talking about loyalty to Christ, we're humbling ourselves and exalting him. Loyalty in our faithfulness to him. Honesty and integrity. Honesty and integrity are ways to repay the trust that Jesus puts in us. That if we are going to be, if we are faithful to him as a servant of Jesus Christ, that we will have an honesty, we could even say an incorruptible honesty and integrity. Steady devotion. Steady devotion. Number two. Number one, be faithful. Number two, be diligent. I don't think it's too difficult for us to understand that diligence is a part of the Christian life. We read about that over and over again in Scripture, mainly in the New Testament. Peter talks about it. I believe Paul talks about it. We see it repeatedly in different passages that we need to be diligent, that there's a diligence about it. But when we specifically look here at this thing of being a servant of Jesus Christ, we might even get a little better of a picture to understand that as we are faithful, we also must be diligent. We must be diligent. We must be industrious. We must work at the job. Now, let's not get lost in that word work. How many of you go to work on Monday and you hate your job? Don't answer that. How many of you go to work on Monday and you love your job? There's a few people that I know of that absolutely love what they do. They just love what they do. And when they love what they do, they don't call it work, do they? It's really only work when you don't care for what you're doing. I think that's true in pretty much any area of your lives. It's work, whether it's marriage, relationships. You know, some relationships take work. Others don't seem quite to be such work because it's an enjoyable relationship. So let's not get lost. Even though it is work in this sense of diligence and industrious in that diligence, it doesn't need to be work if we are doing it out of a heart of love in repayment for the things that He has provided for us. That our faithfulness and our diligence is done because we love Him. A servant of Jesus Christ. Give it your best. It is the Lord's work. It is the Lord's work. That's why we should do everything to bring glory to Him. Everything to bring praise to Him. Everything that we do is an exalting of His name. Whether we eat, drink, breathe, we give all or do all to the glory of God. Number three, be patient. Be patient. What does that mean? You know, patience comes in different levels, doesn't it? I don't have patience when it comes to be working on my vehicles. I can have patience when I'm in the deer stand. Anybody know what I'm saying? Maybe not those two exact things are your situations, but, you know, there's some things. I think that Byron finds way more patience at working on a vehicle than what he does deer hunting. He has so much patience deer hunting that he doesn't even go. So, you know, our thing here on these two things are pretty much opposites. Be patient. What do you mean, preacher, by being patient? We're talking about faithful and diligence and being a reward for service and that we're doing all things for the glory of God and we're His before any other on this earth. Be patient. How can be patient? Let's look at it from this vantage point. There may be a lot of commands. There may be a lot of things that God wants us to do that seem to be unreasonable. But be patient. God will work out His purpose, or He will show us what He wants to show us. He is working all things for our good. All things work together. Oh. Boy, sometimes we struggle with that verse, but it's real. It's true. He's faithful. Patient, because we don't understand. It may seem to be unreasonable. It may seem to be irrational. I'm not saying that God's commanding you to do something that goes against Scripture. I'm not suggesting that at all. I don't believe that at all. But there may be some times that we just do not understand, and it's in those times that we have patience. Sometimes we may need to have patience when dealing with all kinds of personalities. If you're a very, very meek person, I think that probably one of the most difficult personalities for a meek person to deal with is a person who has arrogance. Somebody who is irritating. Somebody who doesn't get flustered with anything doesn't understand somebody who flares up in temper at the snap of a finger or drop of a hat. Be patient. Be patient with people. Number four. This is a difficult one sometimes, at least for some people. Thankful for, as I said, the smiles that I saw this morning. But number four, be cheerful. You've heard me say it before. You've heard other people say it before. What does the person standing at the cash register think about your religion when you walk through that line? I know you may have been hit with a higher tax burden than what you thought. Well, why do we have to bring up taxes this time of year? Maybe you're working on a vehicle and you don't like to be working on that vehicle, and you're having to spend money on a part that you really don't think that you shouldn't have to be buying that part. You're just frustrated to no end because of that. And so what does that cashier person think about your religion when you walk? I'm talking about being cheerful. And I know that sometimes we have to tell our face that our heart is cheerful. Sometimes we have to go beyond ourselves to express cheerfulness, because there's not a whole lot of other stuff around us that surrounds us that it's causing us to be cheerful. But when we're in public, when we're with people, when we're around somebody else, we need to be cheerful. Yeah, I'm preaching to myself. Nothing will enhance your life more, really, than being cheerful. You know the chorus. Maybe we should stop and sing it. It's amazing what praising can do. And that goes along with this cheerfulness. Joyful. Joyful in the fulfillment of duty. Cheerful in the fulfillment of duty. You can take this next statement or leave it. I don't know who said it. We will never master the lesson of life till we sing to our task and smile as we sing. It sounds real. We will never master the lesson of life till we sing to our task. I need to remember that next time I need to change, U-joints on the truck. We need to make it our personal endeavor, a personal study of our own lives, to daily be cheerful. Joyful service. Why is it important for us to be cheerful? Why? If you need to ask that question, you probably didn't hear the beginning part. Because I'm talking about a service, being in service to Christ, Jesus, the King. And He wants His servants to be cheerful. Joyful service to the King. Number five, the final thing that I want to look at this morning. You can be sure that your labor shall not be in vain. You can be sure that your labor will not be in vain. Nothing, no work that is done for Christ, no work that is ever done for Christ will ever fail of a blessing. Now, I am aware that we as people struggle sometimes to understand that, because there's many times you talk to anybody that's ever had a prayer meeting, or anybody that's ever taught Sunday school lessons or done children's service or a youth service, anybody that's had any kind of public, even somebody that's testified in public in a church service or a person-to-person testimony of God's grace, so many times there's a voice that comes ringing into the ears: you really messed up there. Do you know how bad you said that? You know that you really blew it right there? Now, I suppose that I'm talking and resonating with a lot of people, a lot of hearts this morning, because, you know, Wednesday nights, this church has done it for so many years. And you know, there's Sunday school teachers here. And as I've already mentioned, these other things. And as simple as a testimony in church, a person can walk away defeated because the devil wants them to be defeated. And they think that that's true. Or maybe you've witnessed to somebody on the street and you've walked away from that and you thought to yourself, or the voice of the enemy comes ringing in your ears, you really messed that up. You should have said something else and it would have been so much better. No, just believe it. Believe it that your effort for the king is not in vain. You may not say it the way somebody else could have said it. Maybe you don't have a way with words that so-and-so has. It's not for you to say it that way. It's not for you and for me to do it that way. God has a purpose, God has a place, God has a reason, He has everything orchestrated in our lives, and if we do mess up with saying something, God can redeem that as well if we're doing it for the King. We're not doing it for self. Be sure that your labor shall not be in vain. Believe that your labor shall not be in vain. The stonecutter came from another country to the United States, went to New York. He was only working for board. That's minimal pay, isn't it? There's not a whole lot of reward there. Just having a place to stay. Barely getting by, apparently. But he did his best. And people took notice of how good of a job he did because he did his best. Not just barely getting by, but he did his best. And his work graced the front of many of the buildings in New York City. Just because he did his best. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, chapter number 10, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Whatsoever ye do, whatever it is that you're doing. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5, great is your reward in heaven. So when we take the words here in Ephesians and realize that he's talking about servants and that he's talking about servants under Christ, that would include us, all of us, and that our labor is not for ourselves, but our labor is for him. And that we do everything that we do for his glory. And great. We may not see a reward here. You may not see a reward here. But be faithful. Be diligent. Be patient. Work through it knowing that your labor is not in vain. Because there is a reward that is coming. Let's stand together, please. Maybe it was just for me this morning, but I think that perhaps it was for somebody else too. If nothing more than a reminder that we're here to be a servant of Jesus Christ, there is a reward. Praise God. Don't forget our services this evening. Look forward to being together again in our services tonight. Praise God. Brother Rick Moore, would you dismiss us in prayer?